So this morning we're taking a look at Psalm 119. As part of our summer psalm series, we're doing that. And I thought it would be helpful if we go verse by verse, an exegesis of the whole of Psalm 119. So I hope you've got your picnic hamper. That's why we did the ice blocks and the water, so you settled for the day. Well, okay, we may not do the whole of it today, but we're just going to do these verses instead. So from verse 1, Psalm 119. Blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. They do no wrong, but follow his ways. You have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. Then I would not be put to shame when I consider all your commands. I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. I will obey your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me. And we look at some more of that next week. Now, according to the Today program, the breakfast news program, for those of you who have no idea what I'm talking about, who have possibly already done half a day's work by the time it comes on, well, according to the program, only 76% of Australians will bother about doing anything in connection with Valentine's Day this Tuesday. And I imagine that many of you represent that 76%. Is that correct? Okay. Well, you don't need to do that. You can take the balloons if you need to and go and pretend that you got them for your loved one. Now, whatever your thoughts on Valentine's Day, and by the way, please do not ask Stephen his thoughts. Whatever your thoughts are, we're all confronted with the issues of the heart almost every day. Can you think, for instance, about songs of the heart? Do you know the song Beating Heart by Ellie Goulding? Yeah, okay, good. Bonfire Heart by James Blunt? Okay, good. Don't Break My Heart, UB40? Okay. And for the slightly older person, Don't Go Breaking My Heart, Elton John? My Heart Will Go On, Celine Dion? Total Eclipse of the Heart? You're really lucky I'm not breaking into song here. Celine Dion? Where Do Broken Hearts Go? Whitney Houston? And for the older person, Wooden Heart by Elvis Presley, I'm told. Wow. Okay, right. Okay, that's from 1961. Wow, okay. Wow. Okay, in the minority here. But you get the idea anyway. And with a health perspective, we all understand the importance of doing the best we can to look after our heart. And so too must we take care of our hearts, our spiritual self, our souls. It's possible to have a spiritual heart condition when we neglect to tend to our hearts. When we pay attention to the life of our hearts, we allow healthy self-love to make way in our lives. But how do we know that our heart is in need of treatment? When we have a broken heart, perhaps. And everyone on the planet has a broken heart to some degree, because we are all broken to some degree. The broken heart is a condition that arises when those who are supposed to love us maybe did not. Or perhaps too because we're unable to reach a point in our own lives, on our own, to a point of forgiveness. Another spiritual heart condition is a fearful heart. Any area of brokenness makes room for fear to enter. And insecurity is the land where fear loves to dwell. Those with a fearful heart become trained to avoid any past pain from reoccurring. And love has such a powerful effect that it can actually cast out fear. And we're told that Jesus himself does that. Love and fear displace each other. And another condition is an angry heart. As our fears remain intact, the stress and insecurity adds on another layer on top of fear, anger. And the anger comes to defend our brokenness. All anger stems from unresolved brokenness. An angry heart, left unaddressed, will eventually carry hate along with it. Another condition is a hopeless heart. When we walk through life overcompensating for our brokenness and carrying our fears every day, we get exhausted. And at this point, our faith becomes very weary and the promises of God seem far away. Hope becomes weak and minds become so vulnerable to every negative thought that crosses the airwaves. And also, a hard heart. Hard hearts don't hear encouragement or hope anymore. It takes a divine work of the Holy Spirit and the person's willingness for a hard heart to be opened. And the only solution to a hard heart is the act of humbling ourselves before God as well as others. And when we do this, we position our hearts for the hardness to melt off and tenderness to take residence. And the remedy for all of these heart conditions, it's Jesus. The answer is always Jesus. So just as the psalmist did, if you're mad at God, go and tell him. If you're sad, cry out to him with everything you have. At some point in the heart exchange, God will meet you and lead you into transformation. He will always begin by showing you the depth of his love to fill your heart. So it's pretty vital to make a spiritual health check on our hearts, and it's pretty vital to make it often. The founder of the Salvation Army, William Booth, said the tendency of fire is to go out. Watch the fire on the altar of your heart. Anyone who has tended to a fireplace fire knows that it needs to be stirred up occasionally. I guess not too many of you are familiar with a fireplace fire, but you're familiar with the Bible. Okay, you are. Okay, like in the old days in 1961. Right, okay. Well, the psalmist, with which we may be more familiar, in verse 2 says, "Blessed are those who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart." In verse 7, "I will praise you with an upright heart." This long poem begins with a double blessing using the formula, "Happy are those who." Sometimes translated as, "Blessed is the one who." And this phrase throughout the Bible encourages the righteous to call for those who are not living righteously to change their ways. And Psalm 119 is no exception. The psalmist throughout his entire psalm aims to answer the question, what does it mean to walk in the law? The metaphor of walking appears throughout the psalms to express the totality of one's behaviour and activities. To walk in the law means to follow the law, God's law, in every respect. And this type of walking, consistently choosing to follow the path that God has revealed through the law, leads to a happy and blessed life. If we follow God's rules and not make up our own or abide by other people's, it's God's rules. However, walking contrary to the law only causes trouble and suffering, and I think we all have experienced that. And the happy and blessed ones are known by the way they walk and by the nature of their hearts. We are blessed if we keep his rules and seek him with all our heart, not just a little bit of our heart, all of it. The heart of the righteous is described as a whole, which is to say that if someone has a divided heart, that person would have their focus and attention split between God's law and something else. And so Psalm 119 suggests that true happiness comes to those who have a whole heart, a heart that seeks him wholly. And verse 2 in that regard is straightforward, but verse 7, the other mention of heart, "I will praise you with straightness of heart," one translation says. But what does a straight heart look like? Well, we understand the heart to be the seat of one's emotions, especially romantic love. But the ancient Israelite understanding of heart would be similar to our concept of the mind, the seat of our will, convictions and intellect. So we could understand verse 7 to mean that learning God's law produces straight minds. These minds comprehend the word of God clearly and allow that law to direct their actions. By contrast, a crooked mind, like a crooked path, leads us into trouble. So let's be mindful about what we think about, because our minds and hearts are intricately connected. What we think about, affects our inner spirit and heart. And the Bible tells us to think about things that are pure and right and heavenly. There are some really good books available on transforming the mind, and if you want some titles, I'm really happy to, or Stephen, there are some really good books to look at. But the Bible, of course, we look to first and foremost. And so Philippians 4 verse 8 says, "Fix your thoughts on what is true and honourable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise." Guard your mind and heart by watching what we take into our minds. What we see over and over again will eventually make its way into our spiritual and emotional heart. And the answer again is Jesus. Reading the Bible regularly will help to get God's truths, and not the world's truths, into our inner being. Proverbs 4 says, "My children, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart, for they bring life to those who find them and healing to the whole body." Without a change of heart, our culture will manifest what Jesus prophesied. And it says in Matthew 24:12, "The love of many growing cold." This coldness may first manifest within. We lose our ability to love ourselves. So this gets reflected in our relationships with others. Psalm 51 says, "Cleanse me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow." And as in Psalm 51, perhaps today we need to ask God for a new and clean heart. So let's humble ourselves and allow the work of God to revive our hearts. And maybe that means facing pain that has been suppressed. Grieve through what you did not allow yourself to grieve. Let God once and for all breathe healing life into our hearts. And out of that will flow a chain of reaction to everything else. Now, Psalm 119 makes bold claims about how to live a happy life and a healthy heart. And to have a healthy heart. And in days gone by, the Franciscan monks, including Martin Luther, would pray this psalm 3 times on a Sunday. For now, though, I encourage you to open your Bibles and to pray it again for your life again today. We're going to sing right now, but let us take this personal responsibility seriously for our own spiritual health. And to take these moments seriously, respond to God in whichever way you need to. So examine our hearts. And if we examine our hearts, we're in a better position to share his love, to do as he says, to go and make disciples, to share his love. You've each got a paper heart. You had one sitting on your seat. And if you don't have one, just go to a chair that did have one and take one. There's also a pen. Just making some time right now just to allow God to speak and for you to allow God to listen. So in whatever way you want to respond, maybe it's through writing a prayer and leaving your heart here at this place of prayer, bringing your own heart again to him, to Jesus, asking him to make it clean, asking him to help you make those changes that you need to make, that he's telling you to make. And you may want to take back with you once you've put your heart on the, mercy seat. You might want to take back with you a heart lolly, which is in a basket. And there's a warning, because these heart lollies are sour, very sour. And they're a reminder that Jesus makes the difference. Jesus can make all things sweet. Jesus can transform our hearts and our minds if we allow him. If we allow him to penetrate deeply into our hearts by living in his word, by standing firm in his word, by communicating with him all the time. He can penetrate our hearts.